The Holy Spirit is for you. You have the Holy Spirit when you accept Christ. It's what you feel when you come to Him. It's what you feel when He saves you. You are given a spirit. You are born with a spirit. You are given a measure of faith. And that is what causes you to be saved before Christ. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. And though I'm thankful for the fact that He sacrificed His life for me, I know that if I lived in an empty tomb, I wouldn't have life like I have it today. If I only said for that alone, then I would not have grown to who I am today. Friends, I'm here to tell you that which Jesus left behind was the temple. The tomb is representing the temple. And He said, though the body go away, that which I put in within you will bring resurrection unto a spirit that was once unworthy, but then made worthy by the sacrifice He gave. That ought to get you to praise the Lord tonight. So now we have Jonah. He's given the word. Oh yeah, we're getting to chapter 4. Chapter 1, he's running from God. Chapter 2, he's running to God. Chapter 3, he's running with God. In chapter 4, he's running ahead of God. Verse 1 of chapter 4. It's important you understand the whole story. It's great he came out of the well, but you've got to understand what it means to your life today as you believe in Christ. Some people don't bring out the value of the Old Testament. I'm here to tell you, it's just as valuable as what you believe in today, because it laid the groundwork for what we even believe. It showed God's love even before God's love was proven. Verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, typical of human beings, and he was very angry. How can we be mad at the success of somebody? That's a question that leaves us to silence, because nobody wants to take that on. But the fact of the matter is that when we see others around us that are succeeding, it causes us to be angry. Somebody explain that to me. Somebody explain how if somebody's worshiping God and having a good time, that you can look at them and be vexed within you. Nobody wants to take that on, because we're all guilty of being vexed when we saw somebody else having a good time. See somebody dancing before the Lord, that brother ought to be doing that. What's he thinking? I don't even know how funny he looks. Oh, if somebody put that on Facebook, can you imagine what they'd be saying about him? Glory to God, hallelujah. Vexed within himself. But God didn't even leave him when he was vexed, did he? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Man, you talking about up and down? Good Lord, he went from being the one voice that caused an entire nation to turn around to being the same guy that when he looked at him, he's like, wait a minute, I thought you sent me to bring a hard word because they were to suffer. That's what he was saying. He was like, I thought you sent me to bring this word because your wrath was coming. He was basically wondering why in the world he had to go through anything at all if he was just going to fix it. There were also people in a parable once that had labored all the day long, and these people come in at the 11th hour looking for a wage, looking for a job, and the person gave them an opportunity, and when it come for payday, they got paid the same, and there was a little bit of vexed spirit in them. The Pharisees had built up quite a religion around the time of Christ, and when people like Jesus and Paul were coming around, the silversmiths of Ephesus weren't too thrilled when everybody started turning in the tithes that they put in that building and began to turn it towards Paul and his ministry. They were vexed. They wanted him gone. So I'm here to tell you, a perfect church is not a church where everybody is praising the Lord together. Because I've never been in a service where everybody's on the same page. There will be, somebody say these words, there will be people that look at you and what you do that would rather have you suffer than succeed. There were Pharisees. They got fed up with all the miracles they were hearing about. So they finally got in corner and said, we want to see a sign. And this is where Jesus begins to talk about the sign of Jonah. Talking about raising up, about a word that would come. Isn't that amazing? They were vexed the same way that Jonah was. But yet Jesus didn't talk about the part of Jonah that was vexed. He talked about Jonah the prophet, not Jonah the man. When I fail as Jared the man. Listen, there are two presence in you, your flesh and your spirit. There is Jared the man, and there is what I call Jared my spirit. When I do not have a temple filled with his presence, then I only live as Jared the man. Jesus did not talk about Jonah as the man. He talked about Jonah the prophet, but he was vexed. Let's read on. I want you to get this part. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. Have you ever seen a gourd before? And it, I wanted to bring one, but I didn't have time to get one. And made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a what? A shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. We're starting to go back up a little bit. We're almost seeing hope. Verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm, when in the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that was above his head. And it came to pass, this is true, and it came to pass when the sun rose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself again. We're back down again. How many of you are recognizing? Come on. And it said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, verse 9, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. It is a dangerous place to be when you hear the word of God and you refuse to yield. The Bible talks about when you make a vow, that when you break a vow, that the works of your hands will begin to be troubled. If you are called to do something and you have the mind to know that you should be doing it, then when you do not, to him it is sin. And when we welcome sin, we dismiss the spirit man and woman. And when we are empty, the enemy is coming looking for the empty temple, that where he can get in, butt up on you, tell you you ain't worth nothing, beat you up all week. When you get into the church, you can't even lift up your head to look up and even see any hope. You talk yourself out of everything that God has ever done, calling it coincidence or calling it somebody just cared enough to help me, giving every reason in the world not to be. Do you not see that up and down? It's like we can be happy and God will give us peace. But then when we're supposed to face something and the gourd withers, we're right back to the old nature. Peter and Paul, their whole ministry was to fight the previous nature of what we used to be. And at times when God gives me the privilege, I try my best to remind us of the nature we're supposed to live and the one we're supposed to put behind. When I was a child, when I was immature, I did immature things. But now that I have grown, I lay off immaturity. There was once a time when I used to loathe and not do my calling. Oh yeah, we're going there. You're getting out of this well, even if it takes my last breath. I know I'm called to do something, but then when I realized I had to do it. What are we doing with the knowledge that we should? Hiding. There was a man that buried the talent, right? Everybody's in a different step of this process. Some of us may not know what we are to do. Well, you're to be a witness, first of all. You're supposed to share the gospel to all mankind. You're supposed to know the foundation of which you say you believe. If you want to know, read the first four chapters of the New Testament. It's the best way to find out. Then as you seek God more, he'll give you greater works. He said, greater works shall you do. That means works beyond the works that you originally know. I once only testified, but greater works I do today. I once only read devotionals, now I write them. I once only sang songs, but now I write them. Greater works shall we do. I once had a job that I wouldn't have even been proud to admit what they were paying me. But now God has blessed me with an opportunity that has allowed me to move forward in the next chapters of my life. But I didn't get it as the voice of Jared. You get it as being the voice of Jonah. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, the great city? He was teaching him a lesson. Powerful. Wherein are more 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also their livestock? If he has called, I'm doing it. You better curl your toes back. It's coming right now. If you are called to do something, then you are no longer called to do nothing. If you have been brought out of the well, then you no longer can live in the well. If Jesus came out of the tomb and saved you, then we can no longer compromise to the world as we once did. In emotions, in attitude, in pride. I'm not talking about something that's foreign to us. I'm talking about the stuff that's deep down in here that we hide from everybody, and the stuff we don't want anybody to know when we lash out or get angry or speak our opinion or tell our brother or sister about another brother and sister about who they said and what they said and what they done and what they did to hurt me. And by the time it's all said and done, there's no Jonah the prophet to be found. The Bible even said once when it talked about looking for somebody to stand in the gap that it couldn't find anyone. We read in the New Testament, I believe it says that the harvest plentiful, but the laborers are few. If God could use one man to turn around a nation of 60,000, thousands of people, one person. The Bible also talks about that one can put 1,000 of Satan's minions to flight, and 2 to 10,000. So if we kept going, you'd get 3 to 100,000. 4 to 1 million. Glory to God. Now if we all will come in and be who we are and do what we're called to do, that the things of the enemy that is destroying not only this nation, but everybody that's in here tonight, if we do what we're called to do, then the voice of the Lord will spare those that can be saved. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. He wants them to be saved. He doesn't want them to live with cancer. He wants them to be healed. He doesn't want anybody to perish without salvation. He wants them to live and have life in it more abundantly. He doesn't want people schizophrenic. He doesn't want people without a mind, but he wants them to have sound mind, good health, and prosperity. Most of all, God will not have you to be who you were before he saved you. But God has put something inside of you that knows better than to go back into things that causes us to feel depressed. He does not want you to be who you were before he saved you. He didn't send slow of speech Moses to give the word. He didn't send unconfident Caleb to say we're more than able. He didn't send somebody like David who hadn't fought a bear, who hadn't fought a lion, but he sent people that were tried and had been delivered to accomplish God's perfect will. If you're looking for victory, you must fight with what you're called to do. Somebody ought to write it down. I'm going to put it all over the radio when I get a hold of it. If you want victory, you have got to do what you're called to do. That's where their victory is. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He who the Son, we have all these reminders in the Bible. Yet sometimes I look at a church that doesn't even believe in themselves. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm wanting you to get up from there. Get out of this well. Move on with your life. Today is the day to turn this thing around. There's a day of judgment that's coming that those that aren't ready are going to suffer the tribulation. And God has spared us to be here so that we can give others a chance. I would not be here had I not heard the voice of Jonah. I would not be here if I hadn't heard the voice of Abraham, my Lord and my God. I don't know who I'm talking to. Had I not heard the voice of Samuel, had I not heard the voice of David, had I not heard the voice of Solomon, had I not read about the words of Job, how would I ever know about a real God? How would I know about a loving Savior? Had I not heard the words words of Jesus, I wouldn't know who the Father is, but now I know, and there's nothing that's going to keep me from knowing who I am. I am redeemed. I am set free. I am a new creature. All the things that used to bother me are passed away behind me. All I know is what I'm not. I'm not an addict anymore. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer bound for hell. I'm no longer without an advocate. When I get down and pray, I know that God surely hears my heart's cry. What a feeling of peace just to open up your mouth and to say, God, I need your help. Somebody ought to say, God, I need your help. My heart is broken for those that are giving up before they get to the blessing. And the enemy fights me like he does, because he doesn't want me to get you out of the well. But for me to be able to preach like I'm doing right now, I had to get out. Somebody say, look over at somebody, touch three people and say, it's time to get out. Somebody say, it's time to step out. Look at somebody and say, why don't you step out? Glory to God. Look it over at somebody and say, I'm getting out of this mess. Look at somebody and say, it's time to get out of this mess. Oh, you might as well just enjoy the view or praise the Lord, because God's doing something right now. I feel it in the heavenlies. Somebody ought to praise Him. If you want to settle for second best, this isn't your church. If you want to stay as you are, this isn't your church. I'm looking for a body of people that truly believe what they say they believe. If you know that you're redeemed, He said, let the redeemed of the Lord. Now let's clarify something. The Spirit has order. Does that mean everybody's going to come in and do what they're called to do at the same time? No. But it said to be ready in season and out. That means come ready. Be ready. Be ready as if you were on the front line. And somebody said, Tim, it's time. I feel it, brother. Look back and say, Dan Meredith, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When is the last time you heard God speak and you fully yielded without a worry in the world? If you're not yielding like that, you're still stuck in the well. And if you've made it out of the well and you're vexed against the little things, a gourd, what's a gourd when it comes to what's really important? What could be worth more than your salvation? Nothing. Not an ill word. Oh, I don't like that, Faye. She's just too radical. She needs to tune it down a little bit. I doubt that she's going to let something like that take away from who she is. I feel the power of God. And all of you might go out of here and have something to say. But I'm here to tell you, when I lay my head down tonight, the Lord is surely going to give me peace, and I won't feel a thing. So you might as well save that prayer for something that matters instead of hating on me, because a day's going to come when you'll wish you had a word like that. We have contemporary Christian organizations that are settling and modernizing with the secular movement of today. We have a young and up-and-coming generation that is adopting things that were not okay once, but are now being made okay. They are participating in things on Friday night, partying all day Saturday night, and then they come into youth service on Sunday morning, and they act like nothing is wrong. Somebody ought to know that there's a very real kind of false doctrine that's going on. And there were many false doctrines in the day of Nineveh, and it only took one person that would be willing to do what they're called to do to cause a turning around, even unto the king. When you talk about, when you wrestle against principalities, that's talking about spirits upon those in high places. If we're going to influence our government, we're going to have to vote for people that take a stand for what's right. If we want things to be different in our school system, we're going to have to get some backbone and stand up against the one or two people that have a problem with praying in school. If you've got 70 to 80% of your children that want to pray at school and you've got one person that says you shouldn't, tell me how in the world that one person is making a difference. Because the enemy is getting to those in high places. If the enemy can get, if you're the only Christian in your home and the enemy can get you discouraged, he has taken the high place of your house and nobody's in church. That's why it's so important as parents, even if you see your kids in disarray, to not be discouraged, but to continue and stand in your high place. Because God is not contingent on Tammy the woman. He's looking for Tammy the prophet, Tammy the singer. He's looking for you to be who he has called you. Do you remember, just close your eyes for 10 seconds. Do you remember that moment when God saved you? Think about that moment where you turned it all around. Remember when you got up that day, how light that you felt? How different that you felt? How what a change you felt in your life? Now look at me. That's the person that God wants you to be. Light of load, peace of mind, sins behind you. That's easy. Ultimately, Jonah was not the last prophet to come. There were others that came to do things even harder than him, that had to suffer deaths worse than his. And there are those of you today that are in need of encouragement in your calling. And God sent this word just for you. Wherever you go, whoever you see, don't let them hinder who you're supposed to be.
Be who God has made.
I'm not up here preaching as Jared at the attic. You're not sitting here tonight as brother and sister lost and going to hell when all the world would forsake you, when even your own mother and father would hate you, when your friends would leave you behind and the devil to torment you. There is one thing that no matter how hard they try, they cannot take from you. The Bible talks about it. They might take your voice, might take your health, but the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. No matter how bad it gets in life, we're still called to do what we're called to do. My hands, at times when I play, they get stiff and it's painful, but I play through the pain. You know what I'm saying? I get tired from my job, but I'm still preaching. I get tired in the evenings. I get exhausted. No wonder I ask myself, where did September go? What did I even do in 2013? Life goes by so fast to be anything less than who we're called to be. I'm not going to live for another time. I live today. I love being in the presence of God with you, because I know that if I can put 1,000 to flight, that you can put 10,000. He said where two or three would be gathered and agree, that he would be in the midst. I'm trying to bring life unto a calling that has been down in the well for too long. God will not have you run a marathon before you're ready to run a lap. He just wants you to be willing to give it a shot. I'm being as honest and as plain as I can be right now. You have to be obedient for you, because you are in control of your own victory. I can pray for mercy, but I can't pray for your victory. I can agree with you, but I cannot say it for you. You must take a stand by doing what you're called to do. If you have a desire to do your calling, there is a leadership here that is open for people to give it a chance. We're going to a building that's bigger than this one. We have ambitions to reach more than we are today. But we cannot do that with a few laborers. This is a call to this church to get out of the well and go unto your Nineveh, and you tell your nation, your needs, your desires, that the day is going to come when God is going to move. Speak to your things as not as though they are. You have the calling of faith. You were born with it. You were saved with it. You grow with it. And I'm faithful to believe that God has put a seed within you. So I've done my job. It might have took me a lot longer than I hoped for. But now you know what your responsibility is? To water it, to watch it, to make sure that you don't forget what God spoke to you. Because I'm going to move on. I can't keep staying on the same place and telling you do what you're called to do. But God saw fit that you would hear it tonight. We have to stop just dwelling in the safety of the walls. This is a place to empower yourself, because you're supposed to be in the hedges, the thick places, in the high places, and to compel them. Do you have the voice of Jonah?
Somebody should nod yes.
You know how you have it? Because the Spirit lives within you. As the Spirit is in you, you can speak what God has to say. Brother Matt, when I first started preaching, I only primarily read out of Luke and John. But as I have grown and as I have went through much, God has expanded my calling to understand more that relates to me. If you're looking for something to teach, preach, give your children, write about, talk about, whatever, look for something in the Word that identifies to what you're going through. And the Spirit can bring it out to you more. I hope that this has been enough. I'm proud of you. Most of you have held back on yawning. That's awesome. It's amazing. I'm here to admit that if I sit under a preacher for an hour, I get pretty restless too. So you're not bothering me if you get antsy. It's a natural human reaction. Did you know the average attention span of a human's 18 minutes? This is the time that God would want the Word to be brought out, no matter who gives it. This is the time. So you might forget about me the rest of the week, and that's fine. But you take this with you, because this is what I'm called to do. I can't deny it. I can't change it. I've tried to water it down. I've tried to sugarcoat it. I've tried to be more gentle. And every time I tried to do that, I felt more hindered than I would have done if I had just thrown a 100-pound weight on my back and tried to do it that way. Have you been living in the darkness without clarity? If you are in need of anything, this is for anything. This altar is open for you. Because the more that you come up and pray, the more that you allow God to do more in you, then the more potential that you have to achieve victory. They were walking down the street one day, and they asked for help. And they said, "Silver and gold I don't have for you, but such as I have." What was it they had? It wasn't an empty tomb, was it? It wasn't an empty temple. Such as they had by faith, cause them to grow and live. Are you ready?